Welcome to American Reds, Tribal Rant's unofficial podcast for the FX series, The Americans. I'm Michelle.
I'm Mike.
And tonight, we're very solemnly podcasting The Americans, Season 4, Episode 1.
Who's very solemn?
It's called Glanders.
We're not solemn. We're excited. I'm excited.
Well, seriously.
Seriously.
No, I mean, we're being serious, not seriously. It seems we're very, very serious about this. We've podcast very lighthearted shows so far. That's all we've podcasted. Now we come in this room and we're sitting together and very, what's the word? The light goes out. So we're like sitting in a dim room.
It's very 1980s Russian.
It kind of is.
It's East European. It's got that East European feel.
It really does.
Yeah.
It's like dim and,
yes.
And a little
yes.
Frightening.
Nyet.
Okay, so let's talk just a little bit about why we're here podcasting this, okay?
Can we speak Russian when we're doing it?
Well, if you can speak Russian.
I can. Watch this. Da.
Okay.
How about that?
That's good.
Nyet.
We love the show, and we started podcasting last fall.
I like it because it's historical fiction.
Right, but there's a lot of TV that is easy to watch, and it's mind-numbing or mind-massaging. That's not what this show does. There's nothing about this show that you can't be scrolling through Facebook and watch the show and get what you need to get out of the show. It takes thought, and it takes...
Well, if you want to dissect it like we're doing, yes. But it's, I mean, if you we want to enjoy it to its fullest, then you have to pay attention.
I think so. I think it's a thinker's show.
Yeah.
I think it's a smart... I think this is smart TV, and it's TV for people who like to be challenged and to think. That's my thought on it. So anyway, I thought the show was coming back on in April. We're starting at Season 4, Episode 1, and I thought it was coming back on in the middle of April, but I just found out a few days ago that it was coming back on this week. And so we had plans to rewatch the whole series. It's all three seasons, since there is a difference in watching for pleasure and watching to podcast and discuss it, I think. Don't you agree?
I do agree.
But
the first time we watched it, I mean, it was, you know, it was exciting because the new season was out. We're interested in it. It's historical fiction. We lived through that time.
Right.
And I have a lot of interest in it because of my, you know, military background. And so I'm excited. Do you know what I'm most excited about this season? I mean, what were you most excited about during the first episode? Was there one thing that stuck out and you thought, wow, that's the big thing? You know what the big thing for me was?
Tell me.
Martha lightened her hair.
Oh, yes, she did a little bit, didn't
she?
She
lightened her hair. And Clark, he hadn't said a word about it, and that's going to get him in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, it could. It could. He should have definitely.
Yeah, you got it. You have to mention, you know, and it's funny they didn't leave. They took up right where they left off, and then all of a sudden she's got a new hairdo, and nobody said a word. So I think that's probably the...
Martha's looking kind of glamorous. What do you think? She's doing like the updos with her hair and stuff. And we'll talk about Martha a little bit when we get to some scenes.
I don't mind talking about Martha.
I like Martha.
I like Martha. I'm starting to like Martha. And I think Philip's starting to like Martha.
See, that's another thing I want to talk about. Let's not talk about it yet, though. We'll talk about it when we get there. But we've had limited time, was the point of saying that this came on much earlier. Came on a full month earlier.
What's this big long disclaimer for?
We've struggled to get all the episodes in just a few days. We've really binged watched season 3. So we feel pretty caught up on that. We're going to go back, hopefully, and try to rewatch season 1 and 2. But that's just kind of where we are. I was going to ask you, though, did watching season 3 again and really like binge watching it and watching the whole season, 13 episodes in just a few days, did that wear you out with it, or did it make you more excited for season 4 to begin?
I think it was very helpful. Very, very helpful to start off with season 4. I think it was absolutely essential if you're going to come in and do some kind of substantive commentary.
So you, it got you more excited for the season four to come on.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It didn't just wear you out on
no,
it.
No.
It's a hard show, I think, to get tired of. I think if anybody just has happened upon this or just started in with season four, I would encourage everybody, wouldn't you, to go back to season
one? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Go back and soak it in.
Binge watch it. Yeah, love this show.
It's one of the best shows on television.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely one of the best. Okay, so overall,
Martha lightened her hair.
She did. Did you think episode one was up to your expectations? What did you think about episode one this time?
Overall, I thought it was superb.
It's always superb.
Yeah.
I was a little surprised that we didn't have more fallout from the cliffhanger with Paige on the phone with Pastor Tim. I was surprised we didn't see a whole lot more of that. But that's something else I want to talk to you about when we get there, so I shouldn't have even brought that up yet.
Okay.
So, is there anything else you want to talk about before we get going, or do you
I thought they did it great. They started right up where they left off last year, or last season.
So, we start off with Philip. He's in bed, and he's remembering himself as a boy. Now, what'd you think about that whole thing? That surprised me. I don't know why.
Philip is a boy killing those other two boys?
Yeah. And he's thinking back on it.
It didn't surprise me. It's a little out of character for a Directorate S, I would think, operative to be reflecting in that way. I mean, these are hardened, well-schooled, well-trained people. And up to this point, before he started doing that S thing, he hasn't really, you know, gotten in touch with his, you know, his softer side. He's laying there in bed, and as he's remembering it, I mean, he's back there. He's in the event.
Sure.
And when, I mean, the blood splatters from him crushing the little boy's skull, the memory of him wiping the blood from his face, he was laying in bed, he wiped his face while he was laying in bed, and he's
right.
Sitting there. I don't think he's just thinking about the event.
No, he's reliving the event.
He's back there. It's almost like a flashback for him. And I think it had a lot to do with his decision. I think he was laying there deciding whether to tell Martha about what really happened to her her coworker,
right,
the computer guy.
Right.
I think that's what, you know, him realizing how this affected him made him realize how that's going to affect her potentially.
Yeah, I didn't really see how it would. I mean, I couldn't. I did try to put those two things together, and I really didn't see how it would.
Well, he said it as soon as Elizabeth turned
absolutely
over.
Absolutely.
He said, I've decided to tell.
Absolutely.
You know, right after that memory, so it,
I saw that it did. I just couldn't really connect the dots as to what that would have to do with telling Martha.
Well, he's realizing now that he's having issues dealing with
some of the things he's done.
And he's
and
gone,
doing.
He's gone back to probably the first violent thing he ever did. The first life
he
ever took.
Surely, because he was, what, 8?
Yeah.
Or something? I mean, he's just a little boy.
I don't know. He might have whipped his babysitter's ass when he was 4 or something. You never know.
Do you remember what got Philip into this?
The Directorate S program?
No. What got Philip into being a spy and coming to the United States?
That's the Directorate S program.
Oh, I thought you said the S. Like,
I'm
EST.
Sorry. No.
Okay.
No, he was just a Russian officer, and he got into...
Do we know anything about his parents or anything like
that? I don't think so.
See, I don't remember that stuff. I know that they've shown us, in the last season, they've shown us the things he had to do sexually.
Yeah, training for what he might have to encounter.
Right. So, they showed... They show us, like, you know, scenes, and now we've seen Elizabeth's mom. We saw her last time, and we've gotten kind of Elizabeth's story, so I'm just not sure if we have Philip's story.
I don't think
story.
We have his complete story.
I don't remember getting Philip's story, but that would be interesting to know, because it's very interesting to me, this incident that he had as a child, and how that might would have effect on him now, both about the est stuff and the feelings that he's bringing up, but also on the fact that he's able to do everything he's able to do that we've talked about, you know, just between ourselves, you know, the different things like with the younger girl and all that stuff.
Yeah, you know, and she was absent from this episode. They didn't deal with that at all.
I don't think very many days went by from the last time to from the end of season three
to the start of this season.
No, I don't think much time's passed. So I guess we'll have to wait and see if Kimmy. I mean, she'll have to show up, right? That's still a.
I would think, because they didn't close it
right.
with her.
It's still an ongoing thing.
They did close. I don't know if they did send the Afghans back. They didn't meet with them because, you know, the one guy diced up the other two guys, the Afghan warlords.
They closed that.
Well, it's still, yeah, but the operation's still the operation. And historically, they're still going to get Stinger missiles. So, naturally, he's still going to need access to Kimberly's dad's briefcase. Because that's still an ongoing operation. They didn't close the Kimberly operation, right? I don't think they dealt with
it. I don't remember that being closed.
I don't think so.
And that's one of the harder things to watch.
Well, it's just disturbing because it insults your morality.
Phillip's in bed and he's had this memory. Elizabeth asks him if he's okay. She wakes up or she's awake and she asks him if he's okay and he says he has to tell Martha about Jean. That's the computer geek that he's killed last season. Before she finds out at work and he gets out of bed. I mean, he's got to tell her.
Yeah, he's on his way.
Right then. Yeah.
Isn't it interesting too when he gets in, he comes to her not as Clark anymore.
That's what I was going to talk to you about. Yeah, I mean, should we even... She still knows him as Clark.
She still knows him as Clark.
But this is Philip.
But he's coming to her as Philip.
As Philip, yeah.
Undisguised. He takes his disguise off after he gets in the house. So he's still Clark to her in name only.
Right.
But he's showing her Philip.
Right. So...
And he's sharing stuff with her.
I'm real confused, and like I said, we'll talk about this in a little bit. But
I thought we were talking about it now.
Well, kind of.
What's the problem?
We'll talk about my confusion in just a little bit, because there's a lot going on, I think, with... Are we going to call him Clark when he's with Martha?
If you like.
I think we should call him Clark. He's Clark over there.
Michelle, so. I'll call him anything you want me to call him.
Okay, so we see Clark going into Martha's home and she's sleeping and he wakes her and he tells her what he's done, essentially. Martha didn't take it very well.
No, at first she was, I think that was a really good piece of acting. I thought that was
so
perfectly
believable.
Written and she was awakened in the middle of the night and told some horrible news, and I think that would be the absolute reaction somebody would have at first, like, what are you talking about? And then the realization slowly set in.
Yeah.
And then...
The horror.
Yeah, because at first, you know, she's wanting to hug him, and then she didn't want him to touch her. And I think he introduced that information as good as he could. And I think it was handled as good as it possibly could have been, because it could have went the other way.
I don't know if you paid any attention to how many times he told her, or, you know, the fact that he's told her before, but, I mean, it seemed like he told her a lot. Maybe I just heard it a lot, but that it was the only way to protect her.
Yeah,
he had to protect her.
I told you I would do anything to protect you, and it had to be done to protect her.
And then she starts trying to blame herself, but he doesn't allow that to happen. She says, "What have I done? This happened because of me." And he's like, "No, nothing, you know, it's not because of you. I did it." And he goes on again to, "I protected, you know, I did it to protect you. I had to do it to protect you." And it's just no consolation to her at all. She's just beside herself. So all of this happens, and then we go to the intro. And we come back from the intro, and This is where they've just, the day before, Elizabeth and Paige gotten back from Russia for Elizabeth's last time with her mother and Paige's first time to
actually
meet her grandmother.
They were in West Germany.
Right.
And
you're right.
And the mother was brought to them.
Yeah, you're right.
From somebody in the East.
But they've just gotten back from their trip the
right.
day before. So you're right. No time has passed at all. And Paige heard somebody get up and leave at 3 o'clock in the morning. So we know that was the time that Philip left to go be with Martha.
Right.
So it really was like in the dead of the night, in the middle of the night.
Middle of the night. He woke up and went.
And Paige starts asking her mom what he was doing. Elizabeth said it was work, and Paige says, what kind? You know, I mean, she's really kind of probing for a little bit of information here. And Elizabeth said that mainly what they're doing is trying, that their job is about getting people to trust them.
Yeah. I think Paige is working with Stan, is what I think.
So then we go to Philip, and he's watching Martha sleep on the couch, and she's waking up, and she has to go into work today. And this is where he tells her he's not going to be able to come back to her apartment because of Stan. Because Stan's been to her apartment, and he don't know if Stan's going to come back. But he tells her nothing's going to change between them, and they'll meet at his place just as often. And she's still just like, she's just mute the whole time. You don't hear anything from Martha at this point. Then we see Stan, and he's talking to Tori. Now, Tori is the girl that he met at Est.
Yes.
They're, I don't know, pillow talking. She's getting up and getting dressed or something. And
they're definitely become friends with benefits.
He says he might skip work today, and he just goes on to all this stuff. He rubs people the wrong way and all this, and then he says his boss thinks he should be executed, but his boss's boss likes him
thinks
a little
bit.
Get
a
we
medal.
Found that out, right? And then she gives him her Est speech.
Yeah, just
that
talk
was even
to
hard
him,
to follow,
explain
wasn't it?
Explain her feelings and let
and
your
if he
energy
can't understand,
push his energy out. That was funny.
Stan says it doesn't work that way. Kind of grins at her. Then we see Paige standing outside her classroom because they're doing the Pledge of Allegiance. So Paige is really, really struggling with this, right? I mean, she doesn't even feel like she can go into her classroom and say the Pledge of Allegiance.
It showed it was a great contrast between what she's going through and, you know, where she is and who her parents are and all that. She's troubled.
And they've put this 15-year-old girl in a pretty bad situation by telling her this stuff when she is not.
Well, now, I'll agree with you on that. They should have never told her under those conditions.
Absolutely.
She was
not.
Upset. She's been upset. She's unstable. And they gave in during. They made an emotional decision. And that's uncharacteristic. But see, that just shows you that they're real people. They're just. They are desensitized and trained to ignore any of this stuff that they're doing, and they don't do a good job at it, because Elizabeth, it affected her when she had to let the old lady die there in front of her. It affected her. It affects Philip when he has to be in front of that girl, when he has to be with that young girl. It affected Philip even more now when he had to kill Jean. It affected him. So these are people, but they're just so committed to their mission that they, I mean, I'm rationalizing, but their characters are rationalizing too.
Well, but you actually are kind of rationalizing, because it's like the old woman said to Elizabeth. She said, "Do you think the world's going to be a better place for you doing this to me?" And Elizabeth said, "Yes, I do." And the old woman said, "That's what
evil people
tells them.
Tells themselves.
Right.
They are serving their country, and they feel like they are justified that the in their operational activities."
I agree that they feel justified in what they're doing.
I don't think they enjoy. I know they don't enjoy. You can tell. Their characters, the actors, do a good job at showing how they don't enjoy having to do these reprehensible, horrible, horrible things.
I'm going to agree with you on that. I agree with that. Well, Gabriel is talking to Elizabeth and Philip, and he's scolding them about Elizabeth going to meet her mother. Now, last season, I didn't realize that Gabriel hadn't sanctioned that trip.
He never told them they could go.
Right. We didn't hear him tell them that they could go. But when they did go, I thought Philip came to her and said, "You're going." Came to Elizabeth and said, "You're going." As if I got it cleared for you. That's how I took it.
Yeah, maybe it was taken like that by a lot of people, but they never...
Right.
Yeah, they never indicated one way or the other.
Well, Elizabeth says that if he had seen Paige with her mother, he'd know that it was the right thing to have had happened because they're trying to recruit Paige
right.
in this. He says he'll go back into retirement and get them another handler if they're not going to listen to him. So Gabriel's come out of retirement and he took the place of that woman. I don't remember her name.
Kate, I think.
Is that it?
I think.
And because they had issues with her, but they want to keep him. And then he goes into kind of the next mission, the next thing. He starts talking about somebody's trying to keep him out of, and it's biological
warfare agents.
Yeah, weapons.
Yeah.
What'd you think about that thing he said? He said, "We're not allowed to make them because we signed treaty."
Yeah, what treaty with the U.S.,
right.
but we think they're making them, so make them too.
So we're making them too.
We used to have what they called NBC warfare drills on the ship, nuclear, chemical, biological warfare drills on the ship. So biological warfare was a real concern in the military, and I think it's still a real concern in the military.
That's horrifying.
It is.
Well, anyone who gets near this vial has to be vaccinated. So as
yeah, but he gives them a meningitis vaccination, and it's not, you know, it's...
Yeah, what was that all about? I felt like Gabriel anticipated getting one thing that would cause meningitis, but what he ended up getting from the guy, because he hadn't been able to have contact with him, was something entirely different.
Right.
So when he gave them the meningitis vaccine, I don't think he was just guessing. I felt like he had been led to believe or whatever, you know, that that was like the deal or whatever, but it ended up being something entirely different. But I don't know.
I think it was based on what he got last time. He just thought he was getting something like he got last time, something that causes meningitis. I think he just assumed it. I don't think he had any concrete expectation because
okay.
he hadn't been able to... make contact with the guy. Remember the last time he tried to make contact with him, he had to peel off.
Right. He's kept having an issue with being able to get in contact with this guy. The guy's name is William, and he is doing this alone. And that's pretty much all we know at this point, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you have anything else about that scene?
William is a older than Paige and Philip operative director.
Elizabeth and Philip
operative that's been in the United States longer than they have, as told by Gabriel. But he works alone. He had a partner at one time, but it didn't work out for him, as Gabriel said.
Yeah, and then he says, like it did for you guys. Wonder if it was his wife at the
That's what I wondered as well.
So in the next scene we have Nina, and she's with Anton. It's funny, you know, this was funny because she's talking about when they brought her to this science laboratory, how she loved the room they gave her there. Now, to Anton, it's obviously like a prison.
Sure, it's like a tomb for
right,
him.
But to her, it's so much better
sure,
than
it's
what
like the
she
Ritz.
Had. And she talks about the hairbrush. She just wanted to hide in the room and sleep and, you know, brush her hair. I thought that was a pretty interesting contrast.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, it depends on from which side you're coming, how you view something, a step up or a step down or whatever. But she tells him she knows it's different for him being there because he had to leave his family and he was taken in that way. And they walk away and he confesses that he was a terrible husband and that he was cheating on his wife, and that's how they captured him. And then he starts talking about the bedroom with his wife and that he understands what she's talking about, kind of, I'm paraphrasing, but the sanctuary of the bedroom, because that's what he thinks back on was his
right.
wife. So some guy calls for Anton and he walks away. Then we go to Paige, and Paige is at church with Pastor Tim, and he's consoling her and telling her that it's okay that she told him. She's saying she shouldn't have told him. And he says, no one can bear this stuff alone. And she's at church and she doesn't have to hide the truth. He says he's used to hearing secrets.
Pastor Tim and Paige are on a slippery slope. And when he suggests that they all come in and just maybe they can just sit down and talk about it, you know, he should get in touch with Tori. And they can have a big, you know, kumbaya, hold hands discussion.
I want to bring up something, and I've heard it somewhere, and I can't remember where I heard it, and it was before all this. Do you think Pastor Tim is in on this? Because you know how they put people in positions of authority to turn people?
Well, he is
He's got the hair.
And, well, he's in subversive as well. He's an activist.
Right.
On the opposite side of the government.
Right.
Yeah.
So, normally, if you got a phone call from a child in the middle of the night or whenever about something as horrific as that, and you're in a position like a youth pastor or whatever, right? I mean, wouldn't you do something maybe more than what he's done so far?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know. It just seems I'm wondering. You know, he's talking about getting her parents in there, and I'm wondering if he's not somehow somebody put in maybe by Gabriel in case Philip and Elizabeth wouldn't go along with.
I think that's a stretch.
Do you?
Yeah, I don't think.
He's got the hair. He's got the Clark hair.
Well, yeah, but they've all. It's the.
It is the 80s.
Yeah.
But he's got the Clark hair. I don't know. I think it might be something. But anyway, he says that he wants to know who they are, and when can you ask them more questions? So he's like trying to get her now to get information. And she's like, we can't tell anybody ever, and she's going on.
And she's been trying to get information for a while on her own, you know, asking her mom a lot of questions.
Well, Philip and Elizabeth are talking about Henry and Cologne. Now, they're sitting outside this.
Yeah, that's funny. They're on an operation. They're talking about their son using cologne. They're all disguised up, you know, they're in spy mode, and they're sitting there. I thought that was interesting how they're having a casual conversation about their son using cologne.
Well, both of them thought the other one bought it. Who do you think got him the cologne?
Stan, maybe?
That's what I wondered. Yeah, because isn't that odd? Or maybe he took it from Stan's or something?
Mm-hmm.
But what did you think about the disguises? Particularly Philip's disguise.
Philip looked like some kind of art curator or maybe somebody who would have been a beatnik 15 years ago. I don't know.
That was his best disguise, I thought, so far. That was my favorite Philip disguise. It looked totally real.
Oh, yeah.
Well, totally
his disguises
real.
Always look real.
No, I think his Clark disguise looks like Pastor Tim's disguise. That's why I said that.
Pastor Tim's not wearing a disguise. That's just Pastor Tim.
How do you know?
I'm just pretty sure.
But they see William, who they're supposed to meet to get the biologic from him, the biologic warfare agent, the vial of badness from him, and Philip calls it off. He gets a weird feeling.
Oh, yeah, that's his est coming out.
Is that what that is?
He's going with his gut. You got to go with your gut. Don't you remember that? Go with your gut. Don't you remember
that? Yeah, but the guy's like, I mean, his gut hasn't led him wrong so far, has it? I mean, obviously wrong, but his gut hasn't led him.
They don't do a lot of stuff with their gut. They do stuff based on training and facts and observation. They don't do a lot of touchy-feely gut stuff.
Well, Philip calls it off. They call it off, and they don't meet up with him. And so they're back in the garage, and they're getting out of their disguise. Philip can't tell if he saw something or not. This is where he's talking to Elizabeth about it. He said he just had a bad feeling, and she's like, you know, she's real perplexed by him, because this is obviously way out of character for Philip, right? That he broke it off because he had a bad feeling.
Yeah, she is. She keeps quizzing him about it. Almost kind of browbeats him a little bit about it.
And then she wants to know if he's okay. She's like, are you okay? She's noticing something different.
Yeah, I'm telling you, he's getting in touch with his est side.
Well, Philip says he's fine. And I just made a note here. Are they showing us that Philip is softening? Is Est having an effect? That's what I said too. So then we go to another scene, to the next scene. Baby Philip. This is young boy Philip with the soulful eyes. Do you see his eyes? I mean, he turned around. It's like dark rimmed eyes. And he's shopping in a Russian market.
He's buying milk.
Yeah, this was the precursor of what they showed us before, what happened. And so we're back in this same nightmare that Philip lived as a child, right?
Right.
And
it's haunting him.
But in this instance, he's actually standing up in the Est conference telling everybody.
Well, he's telling him about a fight he got into when he was a kid.
Right.
And the guy's just, you know, he's playing off of that, the instructor, or the facilitator, whoever it is.
Yeah, the Est leader.
Yeah.
He's asked him things like, how did he feel? And he's not happy with Philip saying he felt angry. The Est guy says, you got in a fight, you were a kid, what's the big deal? And then he says, why? And this is where Philip said he didn't have to hit him that hard. Now, in between all this stuff, they're flashing back and forth to, like, Philip beating this kid's head open and blood splattering and really traumatic kind of imagery that he's seeing in his mind. But he's not saying any of this stuff. He's keeping
no.
it.
But he's trying to halfway work through it, through the process.
Right, right.
As much as he can in front of everyone.
Well, he says he felt powerful and strong.
He said strong, and then the guy said powerful, and he said, I don't know.
Okay. The guy asks why, and then you flash to the scene where he's beating the other kid, and this is where Philip said he didn't need to hit him that much, and the S guy asks why the bully wasn't feeling bad and apologizing to him, asking him for his forgiveness, and they flash to the dead boy laying there.
Yeah, not much chance of that.
Right. And Philip said, well, he moved away. And then, of course, the room's clapping for Philip because he shared his emotional stuff.
Group
so then we go to a commercial and we come back and Sandra Beeman is with Philip at an outside restaurant discussing the conversation Philip had in there.
I knew that was going to end bad.
Well, I mean, Philip should... Now, see, that's another thing. This is out of character for Philip, right? Or is it?
Oh, yeah. No, I think so. Yeah, he's befriending Sandra, and he's really embraced this Est thing.
I don't think he's embraced it. I think he's drawn to it, but he's still fighting it. But he can't... But he has, like, this crazy draw to it. Probably something in his life that he's never, in his whole life, even from the time he was little, been told to get in touch with yourself and see how you really feel about stuff. I mean, you can imagine that that's not the kind of life he and Elizabeth were raised in, right?
No, no.
And now he's actually had, like, this door cracked open, and I think
he's
fascinated
with it. Yeah.
With it. Yeah.
I think you're right.
But she's saying that Philip needs more support, and he needs Elizabeth. And Philip says that Elizabeth would kill him if, you know. And can you imagine? Can you see her face?
Oh, yeah. No, I can't. I think he's speaking literally.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
So Stan's girlfriend, female friend, Tori, happens to be there, sitting at a table, and she sees this go on.
Yeah. Yeah, and she can't wait to go back and tell Stan.
And we know that's going to go somewhere.
Yeah.
Then we go to Martha, and she's in the office, and Agent Gadd wants Walter Taffet to meet him in the vault now. And
yeah, Frank, he's kind of short. He should go to Est, don't you think?
I think he just found out about Jean.
Jean, I think so, too.
Right, and yeah. I think that's what Martha knew as well. Okay, then we go to Arkady Ivanovich Zotov.
Mm-hmm. The Russian resident.
Yeah. The head of the Russian embassy.
Correct.
And he's knocking on that private... Is it like a... It's not a vault, because you can hear, but it's like a private area.
It's a
right?
private room. It's funny, though, because he's in charge.
Right.
And these people are, you know, working under him.
Right.
And she won't let him.
No, Tatiana
won't let
him
in. Because she's actually a biological weapons officer. from Department 12.
But he doesn't know any of that.
No, he doesn't know any, but that's what she's in there working on. She's actually talking to him about that exchange that's about to go down between William and Elizabeth and Philip.
And well, she tells him to call some colonel
yeah.
an official at the center, and he will explain and confirm that she's doing what she needs to be doing.
Yeah, it was a real awkward thing for him. I felt sorry for him.
You felt sorry for Zotov?
Arkady?
Yeah. Okay, then they showed this really quick scene with Elizabeth in a
tutu.
I didn't see a tutu.
Okay.
But she's got a disguise on. Was she planting a bug in the church office?
Elizabeth?
I don't know. Because she had on the disguise and she's going in somewhere and I couldn't tell where.
I think maybe she's listening to tapes
immediately,
later.
Immediately, the very next scene she's listening to tapes and it's in the church.
Yeah,
the church
I missed
office.
That, yeah.
Yeah, I mean it was really quick. It was like a 5-second scene. You literally blink and you missed it. But she's worried about Paige walking into Pastor Tim's office and spitting everything out. So, if Pastor Tim is in on this, they don't know anything about it. I don't know how it can end without the season ending with if Pastor Tim is not in on it.
You mean in on it from the Russian side?
Yes. But Philip comes in, he's like, I thought everything was good with you and Paige. And she's like, Paige is complicated. And she just seems different. And I think that's fair.
She's really troubled.
So Elizabeth and Philip are driving and they see this man William again, the biological warfare scientist guy.
Yeah.
And but they have to blow it off again because of a green station wagon that's not doing what it needs to do.
And they were right this time. It wasn't a gut thing. It was based on
an
observation.
Yeah, we don't know any of this at this point, but
that
she's
Elizabeth,
right.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Elizabeth called it off. So then we go to commercial. And we come back and we have Anton talking to Nina about seeing the prototype of the stealth aircraft wing that he had come up with in his design.
He had designed it from the photographs and the descriptions that they had been providing him.
And he says that if it fails, they'll be done with him and they'll throw him in a camp. That's what he says. And he says he's trying, but he's already just a memory to his son and probably not a good one because he hasn't been able to call or... It's tormenting Anton that he hasn't had any contact with his son specifically. It's all we hear constantly. I think his name was Jacob, his son.
Yeah, it's really affecting him.
And then he says if he goes to camp after they finish with him, he pictures himself as dust, just ground into the dirt.
Yep.
And no one ever knowing. And she looks stricken at his words. She kind of stands there. I think she's fighting for something for him, and I don't know what. I don't know the relationship she has with him, but...
I don't know. I think she's still just out for Nina.
Is she, you think? Yeah. Because I don't know. Because, I mean, she's able to, like, do this to everybody, it seems like, right?
Yeah,
I don't know.
She's very good.
But I believe her every time. I believed her with her relationship with Stan. I believed her with her relationship with Oleg. I believe her with her relationship with Anton.
I don't know. We'll find out.
Very well written and very well acted. So Philip is waiting on Martha and in his apartment now. And this is Philip. I mean, I know it's Clark, but it's Philip. He's not disguised. And she walks in and she starts to sob, saying that they know Jean's dead. And she said everybody's shocked and running around like crazy. And he says they're safe now and they're together. Now this is where she goes to his apartment. And she's looking over it slowly and everything. And she sits down and she starts asking about Jean and how it happened. And, you know, was he in pain and that kind of thing. And Philip's telling her he did everything he could to make it as easy as possible. And
I don't think he would share as much information with her unless something was happening with him. He's changing.
See, I can't tell. I mean, I don't know if I want to believe that, but it's kind of what I believe. But then, what happens a little bit, just right after this, he starts talking, he tells her about the guy, about Jean's apartment, and how he's got toys in the apartment, and he's just telling her all this stuff, and it feels like an intimate exchange between he and Martha, right? It's like...
She gets that too.
Right. So is he doing that because he's changing? Or is he... This is where he tells her, essentially, that he needs to ask her something else, but he's not going to. And she's like, well, those are the kind of decisions we have to make together.
Well, he tells her that he's not going to put her back in it. And that's when she says, we're going to make these decisions together. And then he tells her, see, these people are both growing. He's growing into her, and she starts growing into him. Because he said, I need schedules on a...
Reports and assignments.
On a particular surveillance team. And she goes and gets it.
But see, okay, let's talk
just after the gene thing, after the pen thing.
I know. That's why we got to talk about this, because what's going on with their relationship? I thought he was very fond of her and not wanting anything to happen to her, and I felt like for a little bit, particularly when he's talking with Elizabeth and stuff, that she was a big priority as a human to him, not as a source. Or as someone he's turned, but I'm wondering now, because isn't that awfully suspicious? He opens up, he takes his stuff off, he lets her in. He has groomed her. He has literally taken her from point A to point Z at this point.
This is what they're supposed to do.
She thought that he was working with the American government when she started doing what she was doing for him. Remember, she thought he was a higher up in the FBI office or whatever, and now she knows he's not.
Right.
And why would she be willing? Everything is at least, I don't know, in her mind, she could at least rationalize, I never did anything wrong that I knew was wrong. Everything that happened and got cleaned up kept me out of trouble. But it really wasn't my fault up until this point right here. And this is this unbalanced those scales right here.
This is where she decides to participate with him.
Knowing
that he's not working for her side.
That's right. Her friend Jean, he's not even cold yet, you know? And Phillip's already prepping her for the next assignment by saying this stuff. He's already asking for stuff. It just kind of blew me away. And I wasn't sure if he was really... What's going to happen with he and Martha? What's going to happen with Martha if she became unbeneficial to him? If she said, thank you for not involving me anymore. Let's go adopt a child and go make some linguine for dinner. What would Philip do?
He'd probably leave.
Would he leave? Would he leave her alive? She knows what he looks like now. I really wonder. I wonder if he would just leave and not come back. I don't much think he would. They don't let anybody know him.
I don't know. Maybe,
that would be
maybe he would kill her. Probably.
That would be a loose end.
Maybe.
I don't know. I was really confused at the end of that. Then we go to Nina, and she's talking to Vasily about the prototype wing that Anton built, and Vasily's saying it's not perfect, but it's really good. That answers that question of did it work or did it not work. And then he starts asking about Nina and Anton and what they are to one another and how that's going. And
yeah, he still feels bitter over over thinking that
she
cared about him.
Well, she says that Anton's not into her. That he's unusual, and she asks if they want her to continue since everything's going so good, and then she says, I demand to see my husband.
You know, at this point, we didn't even know she had a husband.
A husband?
Mm-hmm.
Where'd that come from?
I don't know.
So then we go to Martha, and she's going through files at work, and she looks so suspicious. Come on, did you see her? She's like getting the files and cutting her eyes and walking across the room with this in her hand, and Stan's looking at her weirdly. But she goes into the copy room and she makes the copies, and Stan walks toward the copy room, of course, and goes in and starts talking to her about Jean and how he knew she liked Jean a lot. And now, did you catch what Martha said? She said, I guess you never know a person, do you?
Oh, yeah, that says so much, you know. That says so much about the theme of the show, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But Gene, for instance, you know, maybe his perception of Gene, you know, you never really know a person. And then, you know, it says something about her. She's sitting there telling him, you never really know a person.
And she's copying stuff for somebody she knows is wrong.
Philip and Elizabeth living next door to Stan, you never really know a person. So that's a real, that's a real great line delivered by Martha.
And Clark. She didn't know Clark either.
Oh, yeah.
So then we go to commercial and we come back and Arkady Zhotov, the head of the Russian embassy, I'll get these names down better maybe, but is talking to Oleg about he and Tatiana going over the bug information that's on the male robot, Operation
Zephyr, I think.
Zephyr. He says he needs to be able to speak to Oleg in confidence. And this is where he starts asking about Tatiana and what she's doing, because all this other stuff that we talked about just a minute ago, that what she's doing with the biologic stuff, he doesn't know any of this stuff yet. And but he says, please let him know if he notices anything weird about Tatiana. So then Philip walks into the travel agency and hands Elizabeth the papers Martha's copied and points out that Martha has copied them for him, too. And this is where they found out that Philip was just being paranoid that night, that there was no surveillance on William.
Right, but there was the night that Elizabeth spotted
called
it
off.
But on that particular night that they're reading the reports, there's not.
Right, that's what she says. She says there's not going to be any, that he's going to be alone tonight. So, Arkady wants to know from Tatiana how long she's been in this department. He starts asking her a lot of questions. He's in a room with her. And she just essentially tells him she can't talk about it with him.
No, she's a trained professional. He doesn't have a clearance for her work. In their particular department, they answer to one person or two people. That's it.
But he's upset about this. He's like, you know, in charge.
He can get it. He's in charge of the residency.
I don't think he likes this at all.
No, he doesn't, because she's there without his doing a mission without his knowledge, and he is, you know, he feels a little slighted that he wasn't brought in by the higher ups on it. And that biological stuff is kind of, you know,
like a separate division.
Yeah,
separate
nasty
branch.
Stuff anyways. I mean, you know, imagine, you know, your job being, you know, that's evil. That biological stuff on biological warfare committed by anybody is very effective and very evil. It's like a crime against humanity. I mean, that especially this particular stuff that we are going to talk about in a few minutes. I looked up some information on it. It's some pretty nasty stuff.
Well, actually, we talk about it right now. Philip and Elizabeth were on their pursuit again to get this thing from William. And this time they're able to go up to him, and they say their code about dogs or whatever.
Right.
It was.
Yeah. Didn't I see you here? And he said two Labradors.
So he works at Fort Detrick. Is that what he said?
Fort Detrick. That's his new assignment, and it's caused him a lot of FBI surveillance because he's working on a new a biological warfare agent.
Okay, and it's called Burkholderia melia. Is that right?
Something that's close enough. Yeah.
Okay,
and it causes glanders.
Right. So, did you want to talk about glanders and what you looked up about that?
Yeah, it's glanders is a rare contagious disease that affects horses, mules, and donkeys. Also, cats, dogs, and goats, among other things.
Oh, that's cruel.
Yeah, usually by ingestion of food or water. And it hasn't been reported in the U.S. since 1945. In World War I, the Germans used it on Russian horses and mules to affect troop and supply movements. Because if you can't ride your horses and you can't, you know, mush the wagons, you can't move artillery pieces. I mean, World War One, that was still the primary means of, you know, hauling stuff around and moving large numbers of troops.
Sure.
So they, but it can be contracted by humans. And the Japanese experimented on humans during World War II.
Okay, I thought I read somewhere that that you can also get it from inhaling it too.
You can inhale it. You can get it through your nasal passages and mucous membranes. You can inhale it. Or you can ingest it.
Okay.
And that's how you contract it.
Okay. And he says it's pretty bad stuff, and it makes meningitis kind of look like a joke.
Look like nothing. Yeah, like a runny
like
nose,
a runny
he
nose
said.
Or something.
Yeah.
He tells them to keep it in the freezer and get it to Gabriel within 48 hours. And so I guess third time's the charm that they went after him. They were able to finally get
and
a hold of him.
He just walks away. He's kind of hardened.
So they pull up at home, and Philip's got this vial of terribleness in his pocket, in his jacket pocket. And guess who saw him pull up at home?
Stan.
And guess what Stan's upset about?
Stan's mad that he was out with Sandra.
Tori saw you with Sandra at a restaurant. Are you screwing my wife? And he has to push him, grab him. Right where that vial is in his jacket. Did you notice?
Yeah.
And not once, but more than once. And I was surprised Philip didn't... I mean, I don't know. What would you say in a situation like that?
I think he...
Do you think Stan thinks Philip's having an affair with
evidently
Sandra?
He does. I mean, he's still in love with his wife. He's very, very, very jealous. And I think it's important to mention, I forgot to mention, when Sandra and Philip were together, you know, she's telling him to be more honest with Elizabeth, right?
Right.
And that's exactly what he's doing with Martha. But I think he's still got it in his mind that Martha, and I'm backtracking a little bit here, is an asset. I mean, in the end, she's an asset.
But maybe he can do that with her where he couldn't do it with
Elizabeth. Maybe he can, but what it's resulted in is her being a much more committed and effective asset. Because now she's in. She's all in. Because she's not getting fooled as much as she was before, and he's really being himself and honest. So he's this est thing. He's applying that to that part of his life, but not the mission with his wife part of his life. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and something else since you brought that up, that brought this up too, because she's saying he should be more honest with Elizabeth and let her, you know, in and know who he is. That's what she wanted from Stan too. Remember, that was her whole thing.
Right.
She wanted him to open up to her. So this is really Sandra's thing,
yes,
right?
Yeah, Sandra's all about... And, of course, Sandra's probably going to get attracted to Philip if this continues, but probably won't since Stan had a problem
with... But come on, though. I mean, Philip's not going to do... First of all, this is bad news for Philip. If you are a Russian spy... And you have an FBI agent next door.
And he thinks you're having an affair with his wife.
I mean, you
you're
want him got to be your friend, right?
Yeah. No, I see what you mean. That's a double. That's
so
a,
I can't. I think.
You get double points for that.
I think it was a slip for Philip to even
the whole,
have this
that
thing
that
with
whole,
Sandra.
I'm telling you, he needed to stick with being a Russian agent and leave the feeling stuff to the other crowd. He's really picked the wrong time to get touchy-feely sensitive.
And with Sandra, of See, all people. And but at the same time, what would you say to Stan?
Exactly what he said. He told him the truth.
Yeah, he did, but he didn't even like... I mean, he didn't say, man, you know better, you know? I went to Ed.
I was embarrassed to tell you, and I...
And I ran into her there, and we walked out together and sat down and had a cup of coffee or whatever they did.
And that probably is one of the reasons that Stan is so pissed off about it, because that's something that he couldn't do with her. He couldn't talk to her in that way, and he couldn't get interested in Est with her. Remember, he tried to talk to her about Est a few times.
Yeah, he tried, but he was lying.
It was awkward.
Awkward because he was lying.
I think he told the truth once or twice about it, but it was still awkward between them because of their history. Well, Philip and Sandra don't have any history. Their only history together is at Est, so that's where their relationship occurred.
Well, and we also have to say that Philip is a great liar.
And Philip is a world-class liar.
I mean, he's as good as it gets, right?
Philip, all those Russian agents, man, they're very good.
I mean, he's great at it.
Every one of them.
He tells enough truth that it's so believable, as in his story with these kids. I mean, you can tell that he's feeling something when he's saying that, but he leaves out everything he needs to leave out as he's going on. But Stan says, screw you, Philip. And Philip, you know, I mean, that's just it. He storms off and everything.
Yeah, Stan's a little upset.
He's very, very mad. I'm wondering if he's going to get over that with Philip. I mean, because surely he is. Stan way overreacted to Philip having a cup of coffee or a sandwich or whatever he and Sandra did, right?
It depends on how butthurt he is.
I think you might have to explain butthurt.
Butthurt means getting your feelings hurt.
Okay. Do you know why it's called butthurt?
No.
I don't either. I don't either. But that is kind of...
That's the slang term that we use down here.
For having your feelings hurt. It's like somebody gets butt hurt. So Philip slowly opens up this Altoid-looking tin thing and checks that the vial isn't broken. He's like holding
it up
to the light.
God, I know it.
And my hands are sweating.
Can you
imagine? I'm trying to type this out.
I know.
I mean, we're talking about some terrible stuff. But the vial looks intact. And... He's standing in his garage because they had just pulled up, and the light, you know how your light clicks off in your garage?
After the garage door closes,
Been down from it. And when that light clicked off, I literally jumped. It made me jump.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what I thought. I don't know if I thought the vial was going to explode or what, but I literally, like, jumped. So, that was the end of episode one.
And from the upcoming stuff, it looks like it's really going to be a roller coaster.
The upcoming episode, we see episodes upcoming in the season. Pastor Tim, Nina, Paige, Agent Gad, Paige being taped. They hear Paige where she's talking. And we even see something about where they've got to leave.
It looks like they're having the lead.
Yeah, something.
Looks like FBI agents are looking for them, but we don't know.
We don't know. Yeah. No, you can't tell. They just give you the tiniest little glimpse. But we see Martha much more so. But it looks like there's really going to be a lot of stuff going on this season.
Yeah, it looks like a pretty chaotic season for sure.
And I follow several different things on Twitter about the Americans, and they kind of like tease you and stuff. They had like everything put up like it's all written out now. Like the closed scripts, all how many, 13, 12, 13, how many ever it was.
Oh, really?
So they just show you like a picture of them. So it's right there. So you can see.
That sucks.
Why?
Because I want to read them.
Well, I know, right? It's like this.
Can you
this,
click on them and read them?
Well, no. You can read the outside of the folder.
Well, that's not any good.
I mean, it's just like right there, these different colored scripts.
I wonder who did the research to come up with glanders. I mean, that's just the most...
obscure.
Yeah. I mean...
they do this kind of stuff all the time in this stuff.
Really interesting.
Yeah.
Really, you know, you wonder, how do they come
why
up
that?
With...
why that?
Yeah, why...
you know,
why I guess
how.
Because nobody's probably ever heard of glanders other than, you know, a biochemist. It was really interesting.
Or a World War I vet, maybe.
I don't think any of those are left. No, I know none of them are left.
Really? No.
They're done.
Well, we hope you'll connect with us here at Tribal Rant and become part of our American Red podcast. So, Mike, how do people tweet you if they have questions or comments about our new podcast, American Reds?
Please send me a message at Mike from TN.
And I'm at Michelle from TN. Also, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/TribalRant. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn, so you can subscribe to us there. Please like us and rate us if you like what we're doing. Ratings are a really great way to help a podcast that you like, so if you like what we're doing here, let us know with a rating. And of course, all this information is on tribalrant.com, where you can email us or leave us a message, and we would love to hear from you, particularly about this. I think it would be great, and I would really love to have like an end segment of this podcast of comments from people. Or maybe even a beginning segment of what they thought about, like, the previous episode.
That'd be great.
Yeah, I would love that, because this is definitely forging into new territory for me and you as far as podcast stuff goes.
Well, I'm really interested in the subject. I mean, above and beyond the television show, the subject is very interesting to me.
Sure. And don't forget that we also have a Walking Dead podcast here on Tribal Rants called The Walking OG. If you like The Walking Dead, check out that podcast. Also, we have a Survivor podcast that we do every week. And Survivor this season's pretty good. They've divided the teams with Brain, Brawn, Beauty, and now they're switching all that up. So if any of you guys like Survivor, check out that podcast. It's called The Tribe Has Spoken. It's here on TribalRant.com. This was a lot. This was a great episode, didn't you think?
There was a lot in this. And I think...
And a lot more to come.
And a lot more to come based on what they showed us.
So, did you have anything else? Did we cover everything?
No, I think we covered everything.
Okay, and I'll see you back next week for episode 2. And do you know what it's called?
No.
It's called Pastor Tim.
Philip's going to pop his eyeballs out, I'm telling you.
I don't know.
Yeah, that kid with a rock, that was nothing compared to Pastor Tim. If he's threatened over these kids beating him up over a couple of bottles of milk, Pastor Tim threatens the rest of his life in a United States prison for espionage. Nope.
It's not looking good for Pastor Tim. I wonder, you know, Paige at 15 had no idea that by her telling him.
There goes her first car too. You can forget that.
How the jeopardy she put him in.
No, I mean, that's what just makes her so, it's a bad situation.
Because to tell somebody something like that when you have, you're essentially involving somebody else in something so dangerous, and you know she had no idea, you know she wouldn't do it intentionally to hurt him.
No, she thinks her... She doesn't see the killing aspect of the spying. She just sees the, you know...
I don't think she even knows that yet.
The picture's made in her mind. You know, her mother's telling her, we get people to trust us.
Right.
And her dad said, we get information. And so,
yeah, but they told her. They told her last season, if you tell anybody, we will go to jail forever.
Yeah, forever, yeah.
And within a few days.
She's on the phone with Pastor Tim. They're Russians.
I mean, a 15-year-old, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I do think they put her in a terrible spot by telling her when she's emotional.
They made a bad decision. It's what you said to begin with. They made an emotional decision one evening. And
yeah, but Elizabeth wanted to tell her ahead of time, too. Remember?
Yeah, but that wasn't the time.
I agree.
Rational,
I think it's just,
time would have been better.
I mean, did they think she'd go... Oh, okay, cool. Let's have steak for dinner.
Let's go out for pizza.
But it definitely throws an interesting twist into the story, huh?
Yeah, I don't like it. It's too much pressure.
All right, well, we'll be back next week for episode 2, Pastor Tim.
Pastor Tim, I'll see you next week.
I'll see you then.
Okay.
Bye.